What I'm going to start with are introductions so that artists and everyone else can know who's here. And we're starting the recording. Can I have your attention, please? Thank you. Ooh, whoever did that. I need you up here. Oh, it's Pam. Okay. All right.
Sure.
For folks who didn't hear, if you could put your tickets in front of you, please, because Guido Pardini is coming around to collect the tickets. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and start with introductions. And folks are starting to serve the salad, so I'm going to run around with the wireless. And we'll do introductions. So if you can hold on 1 second. And I guess the question I'd want to start with, let's see, we'll start with this person over here. Oh, you know what, I'm going to start with the hottest air in the room.
My name is Jeff Tom and I have nothing to say.
Kevin Berkeley from Burbank, ditto.
Artist Bazin, Burbank.
Bernice Kandarian, Mountain View, California.
What am I supposed to
do? Say your name.
Roger Peterson, Mountain View, California.
Donna Sanchez, San Jose, California.
Stephanie Rood, East LA chapter. I hope you all have bought your sweepstakes tickets.
Margaret Buckman Garcia, Yosemite Gateway chapter.
Elizabeth McFadden, Yosemite Gateway chapter, Merced, California.
Tammy Stevens, Yosemite Gateway.
And I'm dancing with the server.
Oh, Rob Turner, Sunnyvale, California.
Should I pass it on to Lena?
Yeah.
Here you go. Lena, there you go.
Lena Dawes, Sacramento, California.
So just relax and I'll take care of it. Okay.
What about it?
Microphone.
What do I do?
Introduce yourself.
Oh. Daryl Dawes from Sacramento, California.
Katrina McCurdy, Union City, California.
Pam Pology, president of the San Gabriel Valley chapter.
Steve Fort, Island of Alameda in the Bay Area.
John Gasper, Merced, California.
Alice McGrath, Sunnyvale in the Silicon Valley chapter.
Larry Freeman, CCB San Diego.
Monique McCorley from San Diego.
Joseph Lopez from Santa Barbara. San Diego, Brooklyn. Sorry.
Charlene Ornelas, San Diego Braille Club.
Ted Wilbrecht, president of the San Bernardino chapter.
Huey Carpenter, vice president of the San Bernardino chapter.
Great.
Linda Amati, Oakdale, California. We are absentee members of Alameda County Chapter.
Pam Loveland from Oakdale, California, formerly of Berkeley and the Berkeley chapter.
Okay, let me see. Ah, here we go.
Oh, Peter Pardini from Mill Valley, California.
Hello, I'm Pamela Metz from, Los Angeles chapter. Greater Los Angeles chapter, President of Greater Los Angeles. I'm tired, you guys. And Vice President of GDC.
Linda Perel, from the home of the broom-carrying World Series champion San Francisco Giants.
I am Mike Keithley, Mountain View from the Silicon Valley.
Frank Welty from the San Francisco chapter and a charter member of the Contra Costa County chapter.
Beth Barrons in San Francisco chapter and Contra Costa chapter.
Gabe Griffith of the Contra Costa chapter, and I'm currently president.
Who let that guy in here?
I'm here. Abby Tuman from Greater LA chapter and San Gabriel.
I know. Did I miss anyone? Okay. Let me come back up to the head table. What I would like to ask is if there is anyone, because I'm hoping that this will be very interactive. So I'm wondering if there is anyone who is interested in helping run the portable microphone. I don't know. Abby, how's your pain right now? You're probably in a lot of pain, aren't you? It's okay, he says. Mitch says he needs the exercise. Let me... Mitch has a microphone in front of him. Let me have this person introduce themselves, and yeah, that might be good.
Thanks. This is Mitch Pomerantz, president of the American Council of the Blind, and I don't think this is working real well.
Let's see if this works. Oh, yes, this works much better. Mitch Pomerantz, president of American Council of the Blind.
Okay, and I'm Donna Pomerantz, and I keep begging someone to run against me from the floor, but none of you are takers, so I am your president for the moment. Yeah, Kevin is all talk, you know. I'll do it, because he knows no one will elect him. Watch, we'll all show him. We'll just elect him one day. Oh, everybody's doing motions and voting. This is great. Well, I want to thank each of you for again coming and sharing the president's dinner with us, and I want to thank you for coming to share this convention with us. The only thing I will say is that we have a very important decision that the organization will be making tomorrow afternoon. And I hope as many of you who are able will be there. CCB is a grassroots organization, and we definitely will be having a very important decision to make tomorrow. And each and every person's vote counts. Of course, tonight we will also be having elections. And folks are getting served. So We know that we'll be having elections tonight as well. Frankly, I am proud to be a member of the Democratic grassroots organization in the state of California, CCB. Yes, we do. Roger says that we have elections when we don't know when they're going to come out.
Sure.
Now, what did Jeff say? I need to put a wireless microphone over here. Are you going to run against me?
No. I'm beginning my campaign for immediate past president, and I want all your votes.
No, I remember the days when I wasn't sitting in this chair, and if I knew then what I knew now, I would have had a good time heckling this man over here. Okay. One of the things that I wanted to start us off with, because we in California are very, very fortunate. You have your state president, but you also have your national president here in this very room. And what I want to find out from all of you to start us off is, in a sense, to do a bit of like a spontaneous town hall format. And I want to find out if anyone has any questions at all whatsoever that they would like to ask of either myself as your state president or of Mitch as your national president. And we do have our treasurer in the room as well. So, and we have your immediate past president. And we have your second vice president in the room as well. So you have a number of officers and board members here. And your secretary, that Gabe. Yeah. Is the ALD not working for someone? Okay. I wish I would have known, because our audio folks left. Oh, you're here. Are you eating? I hope you're eating.
No, we're not eating.
You're not eating. Okay. Okay, no problem. Can you, the assisted listening device isn't working? Okay, so he's going to try something and work his magic. And Roger, you can, is it working? Thank you. All is working. Is Roger the only one in the room with an assisted listening device? Mike, is yours working? And Donna, yours is working? Okay, everyone is fine. And I forgot to mention our secretary. So what I'd like to start and find out is to see if anyone has any questions of any of us. Again, in a bit of a town hall format. Okay, hold on. Mike, did you? Was it Mike? Is Mike able to? Hold on one sec. Is yours okay? Okay. So I'd like to know if anyone has any questions. And if there are no questions,
I can leave.
Then we can go on here. And remember, hands raised don't work for me either. I may look like I know what I'm doing and see and know where I'm going, but it can be deceptive. Okay.
I am new to CCB, and I've already developed a huge respect for CCB. And I'm with the Yosemite Gateway chapter, which basically is the Merced County area. Margaret Garcia, who is also is here, she was the founder of that chapter. And it has done so much good in Merced. One of the things that I basically have just learned is that there's a competing national organization. And I don't understand why there should be two organizations, instead of having one organization or merging them so that they could, no, that so can, our power.
Can we, wait. If we can please, I know folks are being served and all of that, and you do have that background, but everyone else is talking as well at the same time. So if we can give the person with the mic the attention. Thank you. Go ahead, continue.
Well, why, number one, why has there a divide, but has it ever been explored to merge so that we can bring the full power of people who are blind and or blinded and deaf to help resolve the issues that involve the general public?
Thank you. Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to need a gavel. So, the simple answer would be we're just like mainstream political parties. And so you have differences in political party, like the Republicans and the Democrats and the Independents and so on and so forth. And that's one version of the answer. We are definitely different organizations. And what I'm going to do is hand it over to Mitch and allow him. Oh, everybody's laughing. But you know what? Before I hand it over to Mitch, what I'm going to say is that is a wonderful question. Okay? So thank you for asking that question. And I'm going to give it over to our national president to continue that answer.
I have to give you some insight, though. When after this lady asked the question, I said to Donna, do you want me to answer it? And when she didn't acknowledge me, I then took a bite of salad. So I then had to hurriedly finish that bite of salad in order to respond. The American Council of the Blind split away from the National Federation of the Blind in 1961 after it became apparent that the way the NFB was operating was not by democratic principles that the so-called dissidents believed were important. The leadership of the NFB under their founder, Jacobus Tenbroek, was a military-style, top-down organization. A few leaders, primarily the president, made the decisions, and the expectation was that the followers would do just that. They would follow. The men and women who founded ACB in 1961 believed otherwise. They believed that the way to run an organization of and for blind people was by allowing the membership to direct the activities of the leadership. And that principle has guided ACB for the last 51 years. It would be nice to believe that the two organizations could merge. But we really not only have different philosophies of governance, but we do have different philosophies of blindness. And I will not go into great detail here, because I don't have that kind of time. But the fact is that we believe in choice. We don't believe there was one right way to be a blind person. We recognize that people are at different stages in dealing with their blindness. We also understand that some people will become fully independent. Many will not, particularly older blind people who, if they lose their vision in their 60s and 70s, will probably never have the opportunity to get the rehabilitation services that those of us who lost our vision at a much younger age did. So Donna kind of stole my favorite line, because we get asked the question all the time when we go to legislators' offices. And the Federation, we have a meeting in February in Washington, D.C. It's the president's meeting of ACB, our affiliate presidents, and our legislative seminar. And the NFP usually comes in 3 or 4 weeks earlier and goes to Capitol Hill. So on more than one occasion, we will come into a member of Congress's office, and they will say, much as you said, ma'am, why can't we merge, and then we can only hear a unified point of view about blindness and blindness issues? And my response was and will always be, we absolutely will do that the day following the merger of the Democratic and Republican parties.
Okay, if anyone else has a question, wait.
Okay, I heard a yes from someone.
Want to take a follow-up for that question? Or should I go to another question?
Okay, and we won't forget you, let's do a question from someone else.
Okay.
But we're not going to forget you, unless folks are ready to hear the follow-up, and we'll do the follow-up. It's direct. Okay, let's do the follow-up.
I got a kick out of your political analogy, but the question I would have, even in Congress and even in the current Congress on occasion, the Republicans and Democrats recognize something has to be done, so they will get together and come to consensus on a position regarding a specific issue, whether it's debt control or whatever they're fighting about.
I'm trying to get folks to be quiet in the room and listen, please.
Are there primary issues that you could work together, particularly those that if you got to deal with a political situation, because if the politicians know you're split, they're not going to do a damn thing, period.
There have been times where we have worked together on things. And at this point, I'm going to give Mitch the microphone to let him finish that theme there.
Yeah, the answer is absolutely. We worked together within the last 2 years on the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, which required the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to develop minimum sound standards for hybrid vehicles. We have worked together certainly on issues on the state level concerning the teaching of Braille. We believe both organizations in the importance, the criticality of Braille. So we have, and we do, three years ago, we worked with the NFB dealing with publishers and the Kindle and its inappropriate use at Arizona State University, where we were concerned that blind students would not be able to keep up with their classmates because the Kindle was and still is inaccessible. So there are issues that we do agree upon and do work together when appropriate.
And in the state, we've worked together and as a result of that collaboration, we do have blind field services within the Department of Rehabilitation that came as a result of a bill that both organizations here in the state of California came together to get passed. So we will work together when we agree on the issues. And, you know, if there isn't agreement, then, you know, we do our own thing. So.
Okay, does anyone else have a question? You can raise your hands. It takes me a while, but I can see people. I heard Ms.
You're
Alice.
Welcome.
Hi, this is Alice McGrath. My question is how and who plans the programs for our convention?
The programs, actually, we have a convention committee, and Eugene Lozano is the convention chair. One of the things we do is we are always looking for program ideas from everyone. But there is a convention committee, and you know, program items go through the convention committee, and we then you know, acquire the speakers depending on the topics that are suggested. I would really like to hear from, you know, more members as far as program topics. If, you know, you may have a contact with a certain organization. For instance, tonight's topic that will be at the general session, we had a few members that came to us and said they wanted to, you know, they thought it would be interesting to hear more about things like this, which will be discussed tonight by the doctor. So the program topics come from you, the membership. The planning of the convention works through the convention committee. So if anyone is interested, Alice, if you're interested in talking more in detail with Jean, you know, and myself, we can definitely do that. But that's how it happens. The contracts for the hotel, those go through the convention committee. We work with an entity that assists us, and, you know, those are planned several years in advance. So, but it's all through the convention committee.
Anyone else have a question? No one else? Wow. This was such a noisy crowd a few minutes ago.
I know. Okay.
Well, that's it. Oh, there is someone?
Oh, there is a question. Okay.
Okay. Keep your hand up so I can find you, hopefully. Okay, at this point, just scream at me.
See, Beth like me. Okay.
Here you go.
If the membership does vote to go to one meeting a year, would the CCB be amenable to meeting in maybe a smaller town, like Merced, which would basically be halfway in the state?
Assuming
they could provide the rooms and the space.
Right. The some of what we consider in a convention location is, you know, several different modes of transportation to get there, because that driverless car isn't working for me yet. So the other thing we consider is, you know, the affordability of room nights. And, you know, you've experienced the number of meeting rooms we have and the meetings and things. So a place also needs to be able to have room for us as well. So there are a number of things we consider. And I think that if a proposal is shared with the convention committee, they could give you more specificity. And, you know, I mean, anything is possible. We have been to Fresno, yes. But, I mean, anything is possible. So you'd need to touch base to get more detail, because I wouldn't want to, you know, spend the whole night of the interview. You'd be surprised at the detail that, you know, comes with selecting a hotel. So
I'm going to let everybody eat, because if I don't get back, Jeep's eating my dinner.
Yay! So everyone, go ahead, enjoy your dinner, and enjoy. I'm going to finish my salad. To talk about or kind of bring to the table as far as topics that they'd want to discuss. in future, because I know we're getting ready, but the gentlemen are recording the meeting. And so I'd like to hear from you some of the things that maybe you'd want to talk about on president's calls. You have an idea. Who's that? Margaret. Okay. Hold on one sec. But we have people who are hard of hearing, so they need the ALD.
It's a very big issue lately in our area, and in talking with other people, I think it's happening in a lot of different areas as well, is the whole issue of paratransit, eligibility, the processes that are being changed to try to... It feels like they're trying to get rid of paratransit and trying to get people to not qualify for it. And I think, as you and I talked at one time, we try so hard to show what we can do on ourselves independently that going through the process is not an easy thing, because you got to show what you can't do on your own very well without that service. And I think the whole issue of transportation, qualifying for paratransit, that type of thing would be an interesting topic.
Okay, that's, yeah. So one of the items for future discussion on a call would be paratransit then, and the issues that are surrounding it. I think we do have a lot in common with that. And people are going through, especially in these times of cutting budget cuts and things like that, I think everything's under siege. So transportation. Anything else? Who's that? Stephanie. I'm going to reach over.
One of the things that has been asked of me several times, and of course I'm the secretary of the East Hill chapter, and we've talked about this a bit in terms of how to develop membership. You know, as the general membership is an older population, as we get older, we need replacements. We need people to come in and populate and continue our mission. And one of the things that has often been asked is, you know, what about mentorship so that we can bring in some of the younger kids? When I say kids, I mean teenagers and college students who maybe are either newly blind or exploring employment opportunities and stuff like that. I hate to say this, but our competitive organization does a very good job at mentorship, and they bring in a lot of membership through their mentorship programs. So I'm wondering what we as a entity can do to increase our membership twofold or even larger, because we need to.
Okay, so I'm going to put a board member on the spot. And I'd like to hear from this particular board member, Miss Lena Dawes, who, I don't know, is that the youngest one in the room here? I don't know. I think it is. And so, well, Gabe, you're a curmudgeon. I don't care how old you are, but you're just an old guy already, so, you know. So let's hear from Lena, and then maybe I'll think about giving the microphone to the curmudgeon over there, too. But let's hear from Lena on that.
Like, what you want to say. Okay. Okay, well, I will say that I started out in the other organization partially for that reason, for the membership and the fact that I knew somebody in the student group and they decided they wanted me on their board. So I guess that's one way they did it. But why I'm here is because of, like, Mitch talked about and Donna talks about a lot, this is an organization about choices, and it was, you know,
to be perfectly honest, it was getting frustrating to see the inner circle continue to get reelected and reelected and reelected, no matter what kind of a job they were doing. So, yes. Well, so what I would want to see, I think, is a lot more, you know, a lot more mentorship, and, you know, even if we were to, I'm actually the, one of the places that would be cool for that, if there were, you know, people are involved, would be like first timers, for example, or, you know, just something like community outreach to more students. I'm not quite sure, honestly, how, I mean, with the scholarships, I don't know what we do here. What I'd like to see is, you know, like they, at one time I went to an NFB convention and they had, it was my first time, it was a scholarship, and they pair you with someone. They put you, you know, you have a roommate who is someone, you know, a veteran that's been in the organization, a board member or something along those lines. And, you know, you get to know that person, learn the ins and outs of the organization, and they show you, you know, they show you the ropes that way. So it's sort of kind of inundating the whole weekend. And it just was, I don't know, it's very helpful to me to have an adult, to have a mentor. I was about 19. So it's, you know, I was going to Berkeley at the time, and I just, you know, it was really cool to have a blind mentor because I was just gaining my independence. So I think that's huge. Like, I'd almost want to put together, and I'm offering to do this, a mentorship committee.
I like that. And who is that? Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm going to go over to Gabe. Because I saw him up to no good over here, so I'm coming over here. And I'd like to hear what Gabe has to share, maybe some of what he'd like to see on the theme of what folks are talking about.
Well, having been in Lena's position of being the youngest person in the room for many years, it is something that this organization has struggled with. I know for the last 10 or 12 years, since I held Lena's position as the president of the Blind Students of California. I would really hope that, you know, I like Lena's idea that she just mentioned of getting together a mentorship committee. That's something that I know has been talked about, again, for 10 years. I think we brought that when I was president of that group. So it's something I think that would be a great idea, and to me that would be the best way to move towards trying to bring in younger members. But I think we need a good group, whether it's the board, whether it's a committee outside the board. We really need to, I guess I'll be frank about it, we need to quit talking about it and start doing it. Since I've been a member of this organization, we've been talking about we need to get younger members. And I'm probably as guilty as anybody about not getting to the colleges and the schools and trying to get those younger members. But I think in order for us to go that way, we're going to have to start doing that stuff.
Now, okay, Pamology, Artis, and Linda is the order I have. So I'm going to give it over to Pam.
Thank you very much, Donna. What I have to say, it has to do with now that I'm in the situation of chairing the Credentials Committee, and I appreciate very much Donna entrusting me with that. What I've been noticing in that capacity is, though it is very important to increase our membership, I think it's also very important to bring back our chapters that we're losing, that are falling through the cracks, and not necessarily by their own doing. You know, maybe they don't have any choice financially. So I was talking to Donna, and I would like to see some of the more lucrative chapters that we have that are more lucrative financially. Maybe we can put together some kind of a buddy system where a chapter could sponsor another chapter who isn't able to come. Now, maybe this problem will decrease if we go to one convention a year, but I still think it's worth looking at because these chapters are part of us too, and they're part of our family, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go over to Artis.
Okay, this is Artis. Several years ago, when Jeff was president, we put together a mentoring plan and had a list of ways that an older member could reach out to a student. And we had considered, like, from junior high all the way through up to college, mentoring one-on-one. In fact, we even put a grant proposal together, which we didn't get the grant money. But one of the things that came up was the fact that if we were having an adult meet with a student, that could be a liability issue. And so it kind of stopped right there, and it just never went any farther. But I think it is a good thing to really look into in the future. And possibly for the liability issue, maybe we'd have to, you know, just mentor, you know, college students instead of, you know, younger. But I think it still would be a good idea. And sometimes other mentoring could be newly blinded people with a person that's been blind. And so, I mean, there's lots of different ways you can look at mentoring. But I do think, you know, it's important to do. But one thing you have to remember, it seems like there's a small percentage of CCB members that really get involved and do the work. And these same people can't be always having to come up with a new program, a new thing to do. So I think you really need to consider that if you want to do more programs, you need to get more people involved and be willing to help with doing the volunteering and doing some of these jobs.
So she's saying we need your help. We need your help. Was it Linda? All right. Linda and then Mitch.
I'd like to describe a situation that I observed from a distance. My closest friend teaches at Perkins School for the Blind, back home, back east, and she's also a member of Bay State Council. She had a student that she worked with in the public schools, and the student was invited to an education conference on the Death Star in Baltimore. So she and my friend, her student, like 12 or 13 years old, went down to Baltimore to the Jernigan Center, and my friend Kate did not drink the Kool-Aid, but she was impressed with the program that they put together and how much work they do with parents of young children. Let's not worry about the liability of talking to the young children or getting a live scan in order to, I mean, although we could go into the schools probably and talk to them. However, parents is another group that we could entice with the way we do things and get their children involved on a much earlier level, because it's clear that the other organization is way ahead of us on that one.
Yes, and I'm going to give it over to Mitch. One of the things, though, that I do want to share with you as I'm walking up there, remember the other organization has a staff of probably 60 folks who are actually paid, And all the things that CCB does are all done through the gifts that our members who volunteer, and I get a salary now of 10 zeros. They gave me a raise this weekend, so instead of 9 zeros, it's 10. So we also need to remember that because some folks do get discouraged when they hear, and I'm not saying that, you know, the Federation and the way that they come at, you know, getting the young folks and dealing with the parents, I'm not saying that they don't have good ideas, but I also need to remind folks that it takes dollars and cents to do some of those things too. And that's very real. So let me give it over to Mitch.
Well, I want to go in a slightly different direction. I first will say that I absolutely agree that we need to recruit and mentor younger folks. But that's not where most blind people are. Yesterday morning, I am waiting for my bus to take me downtown for a meeting. Ha ha, it was my fantasy football club. Before catching the train coming down here. And the first thing I realize is I'm at the bus stop. Let's have order.
It's Jeff and Kevin.
No. First thing I realize as I'm waiting for the bus is I hear a woman talking to a dog. And I'm thinking, that'd be a guide dog. And then she asked her telephone. She did a check time, which meant she had the same old LG phone that I have. So I turned to the lady and I said, is that a guide dog? And she said, yes. Well, we got to talking. She's a blind woman, lives in San Gabriel, probably in her mid to late 50s, who happens to be the president of the Southern California and Southern Nevada Women's Church Group, Women's Church Union, or some such. I'd never heard of this lady before. And while she'd heard of ACB and CCB, because I told her where I was going and who I was, she's somebody who's never had contact with our organization. The blind folks that we need to bring into this organization above and beyond the younger folks are the folks in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s who have established their lives. Maybe they're married, maybe they're not, but they're more settled and they have perhaps more time to devote to this organization. And every one of us who is in a local chapter can do far more to find these folks. We have probably acquired a quarter of the membership of the San Gabriel Valley chapter through IDIS, which is a support group, Eye Diseasers Are Serious. Never mind the name. We've gotten a lot of good folks from that organization. There are support groups. There are senior centers. There are other organizations. I didn't mean to stir up this much trouble. But we need a much broader approach to the idea of recruitment and mentorship. I'm hoping this lady calls me back. She's having a problem with her condo association and her guide dog. And I said, well, I'm on the board of our condo association, and I had a guide dog for many years, and I got lots of interesting material that you can take to your next board meeting. Please get in touch with me. And, of course, in the process, I'll recruit her to join our chapter and become a CCB member. So let's not lose sight, folks, pardon the pun intended, of where most blind folks come from with the epidemic of diabetes. You're running into more folks in their 30s and beyond who are getting diabetes, type 2 diabetes. We need to go and recruit and mentor these folks just as much as we need to recruit and mentor students.
And so, there goes Pam. Okay. I knew. Pam meant. What I want to say is it's my hope that we can have the scholarship committee and the membership committee and those who may be interested in joining the membership committee do some coordinating so that we can work on some mentoring projects. If anyone is interested in serving on the membership committee, if anyone is interested in, besides those who have mentioned tonight, doing some type of a mentoring project, give me a call and let me know. Because we want to make some of these things happen. And I'm going to give it over to Pam Metz.
Now, see, I knew there was a reason why I liked your husband. He's right, because one of the things I found as a person who lost my sight later in life, I ain't going to tell you how old I was, if it wasn't for Donna, Mitch, and Ken, I would have never known what CCB was or what it does or what it involves. And I run into people all the time, and I give them my information and tell us McCall. And these are people, and Mitch is right, who have lost their sight later in life. And I have no problem with the students bringing students in and the younger group in, but you have to think about the older ones. Because this is an argument that me and my husband have all the time. Because we got to bring the students in. Yes, that's because you're getting old. But, But we also have to think about those who lost their sight later, who worked or are still working and can bring something new to the organization also. And one of the things that's important to me is, as a woman and a black woman, is diversity. And how come we can't go to different groups and talk to them about diversity and the CCB and ACB? Because I love kids, but okay. But we have to think about the older ones, too. We're out there. And if it wasn't for Donna, Mitch, and Ken, I would have never known what CCB was. So it's important that we find out and find a way to get in touch with them also.
And so what I'm hearing here is we need to try and recruit everybody. Everybody. And so we need to start to brainstorm ways on how to do this within, you know, based on the organization that we are. And I'm going to close with this. We had today a wonderful family that came to be a part of our general session. And that was wonderful. And I was running to go to the publications committee meeting, and I was late. And I'm so happy that we're the organization that we are, because what they did was they started without me. Yay! Which was a good thing, because I got stopped in the hall by Evan and Christy, and Joshua was over talking with the Joes. They, you know, one of the things that they said was, this is the first time that we've been to an organization that's real. And so I got the opportunity to talk to them a little bit about who we are. And what I said is, CCB is all about the people. We are the people. We are CCB. And they said, yeah, we feel it. We know it. And what they said was, you know, we'd really like to find out more about CCB. You know, you guys didn't pull us in and say, oh, can we put your name on this and can we do that? And, oh, we want this from you and this and that. And I said, no, because that's not who we are, you know. And so I think all of you made a wonderful impression on a family that is on a search to continue moving forward and, you know, with their vision and what they want to do. And I hope, it's my hope, that they will be back because they really felt all of you, your sincerity, and the fact that we are an organization of real people working in the trenches. So I close with asking all of you to think about where you'd want to serve, what you'd want to do, because these are all wonderful ideas, and it does my heart good. But we need the people power to make them happen. And so think about it. I know I heard that. I love it. So think about it. It's someone's medication alarm. So think about what you want to do, because CCB belongs to all of us, and we are in a time where we're definitely needing to continue moving forward, and it's getting just a little bit heavy. But you know what? In the heaviest of times, that's the start of moving toward a new direction, whatever that may be. And I want to thank each and every one of you for sharing this dinner, for sharing these gifts, and we'll be seeing each other soon on a President's Call. Thank you.